You are listening to the Crypto Hustle with Eleanor Blanc. Only on the CoinSpice.io podcast network.
All right, we are back with another episode of the Crypto Hustle with Eleanor Blanc. This would be episode 5. And wow, so much has changed since the last episode. I urge you to go back to listen to those first 4. They're a lot of fun and we always get high marks. But before we get knee-deep into the current episode 5, Eleanor, welcome back to your show.
Hi, Kelso. Thank you for having me.
Man, it's great
episode
to hear
five.
Voice. That's 5. Yeah. 5 big episodes. So let's see, when we last spoke, we were just beginning the coronavirus new normal.
Yeah.
And anticipating a lot of change, wondering what was going to happen. And some of that between episode 4 and this recording has actually taken place in your life in particular. And I think it's such an important subject because a lot of people, they get very into cryptocurrency. It gets into their DNA, into their pores, and they become evangelical about it. And then,
for better or worse,
reality sets in at some point and they get hit, and there are these cycles. And we don't talk enough about the cycles. And I've been through it. Everybody I know has been through it. And you recently just went through it. So let's start there. What has gone on since your triumphant return from
Davos? That was cool. Davos. Mm-hmm. That was what, like a couple of episodes back, we had that. Then we had like the whole nice wave of Bitcoin.com and Lugano events. And oh my goodness, it feels now like ages ago. Like, you know, this whole
that's a
Corona thing. Oh my goodness, it just shuffles everything. And what's, I mean, funny or not so funny is that in the last podcast, I was mentioning how, you know, this is fantastic. Everybody's going to go through an introspection moment because now everybody's forced home. And I didn't realize how strongly it would affect me, actually. I think that's something I completely, like, I was thinking about so many other things. I was thinking about civil liberties and governments coming after people and the end of privacy and, you know, weird, you know, health apps tracking when's the last time you got your COVID testing and, you know, rumors about where the virus is. I mean, you can get sucked up in the news and the numbers. I mean, I can't be the only one, but like those numbers every day checking that map, and it gets a bit obsessional, I guess. I guess it was a little bit, I got sucked in.
And it's kind of a luxury of being, you know, financially safe, right? So you have sort of the leisure to think about these big heaping topics and then
financially safe, but also I have a home, you know, I'm not scared of where, not only financial safe, but like, I'm also like just comfortable and like, I'm not in like a mini studio, you know, struggling. And I'm very, very lucky in the situation that I am today. And for better or worse, my job is crypto and I can't really describe it some days, but it's just about following and learning about this movement and being able to understand the tech more and more and sharing it with people. And sharing it with people and doing community management, I guess, is something I've been passionate and I've been working on for the last now 2.5 years or so. And this sort of, you know, mix between, hey, here's your first crypto, here's your wallet, to, you know, understanding Avalanche and, you know, Mitra for the protocol layer for BCH. So it's like, I like having that range. And I think has been like it's been the strength for me building, you know, communities and understanding what people are asking for and what people are looking for. And I just didn't realize the toll that it would take on me to be able to, in these days where everybody's looking for answers and everybody's a bit afraid, that I didn't realize how hard it would hit me and how my mental health would be hit by being, well, quarantined at home. As an extrovert, I think I get a lot of my energy and a lot of my inspiration in my work, when talking to people, when exchanging, when I'm at the office and I'm with Roscoe and he's explaining me, you know, what any hedge is about, or, you know, oh yeah, okay, what they're doing, okay, smart contract scripts on VCH, and it's very exciting. And of course you could do it all remotely, right? That's, you'd think, well, you know, that's easy, but I think it's the length of it all, just the notion of time. I don't know if the time slowed down or slowed down for sure, but at the same time, it felt like the world was falling apart very fast. And it's that contrast between being stuck and powerless, but at the same time thinking, I know about crypto. This is a superpower in these days, right? And feeling stuck and not being able to share it with people. And I felt like I was failing people. I know that that's completely, these are my own fears, right? But it's the idea, like I had said, okay, we're quarantined. We had our first meetup beginning of March. Now we're in. Let's do it from home. Like, let's do a VR. I thought VR was great. I thought, because we're lucky again to have VR at home. And again, that's so niche. You know, that's another niche part of the community that has that access. But I was trying to think of what is the next tool that we have to still meet, you know, not digital, physically. Everything just became too heavy, and I just didn't want to anymore. And then it's really hard to feel like you need to be out there and you need to, you know, learn and you need to hustle, you know, like the world keeps going, girl, and crypto doesn't stop, so don't stop.
You didn't mention, but which I think also did not help, is that you were part of the Bitcoin.com layoff.
Right. So that was fantastic. That did not, you know, bring me any PTSD from the layoffs from BTC.com, right? That happened like almost a year before that, which I was also part of.
Right.
So, right. No, so crypto is volatile, right? For anyone listening, it's difficult. And businesses in this industry are innovators and forward thinkers, and they take risky decisions. And sometimes, you know, they go to that panic zone, you know how everybody has a comfort zone, stretch zone, panic zone. And maybe sometimes you just need to fold back a little to maybe one day grow better and stronger. So the contractions of the market and Corona obviously have affected, you know, other companies and have affected Bitcoin.com. But yeah, I was very excited about organizing a bunch of events for the Bitcoin Cash community and the Bitcoin.com brand. But you know, I mean, it's not over. The world will come back, I guess, to some form of events. But it's funny. I was watching random pictures the other day of King's Day, because we had King's Day at home. I don't know if you do you know what King's Day is in the Netherlands?
I do not.
Okay, imagine 2 million. People in the streets of Amsterdam for one whole day drinking and partying together, and actually, oh, wow, in a really lovely way. Like, you don't feel threatened, but everybody's really having fun. Kids are in the streets playing their, you know, instrument and getting money. You can sell shots of vodka if you want yourself, walk around, you can do whatever you want on that day. And it's a day where
I love Amsterdam.
A lot of people just come to the city, and it's really a day of celebration, and it's spring. So it's usually gorgeous weather, canals are full, all the boats are out. So it's really like a big moment for the Netherlands. And for the first time, everybody was at home on that day, right? And I was looking at pictures of the year before, which I do really like this celebration. I really think it's one of those uplifting, nice ones. And I was just thinking, wow, when is the next time that I'll be in a crowd of 2 million people or 1.5 or whatever? It's like you think, you know, when is the next time we're really going to be in crowds like that? Like, it's right now you can only, you know, get together, I think, with in Switzerland up to 5 and with your family. I'm not sure in the Netherlands. Netherlands is just like kind of more cash. But, you know, the idea of events, the idea of meeting peer to peer, there is going to be some kind of, you know, I don't expect big events like that anytime soon. Maybe I'm wrong. And maybe as of next month, you know, everybody just decides, you know, whatever.
That all kind of worked and sort of conspired along with with being a part of the downsizing of Bitcoin.com. Kind of worked on you. And I think you're brave to talk about it. And when we discussed pre-show, what the outline would be, I was kind of shocked that you wanted to talk about that and mental health, because this is not something that the community talks about. You get laid off and we're go capitalists and you move on, you know, sort of thing.
Be strong, like, you know?
Yeah. And there's a lot of truth to that, but it's kind of good to take a pause here and go, that sucks.
Yeah. And I couldn't even articulate it. You know, it took me a while to just sort of be able to make, I think I'm still making sense of it till now, because I think these layoffs, they're a bit brutal, but that's okay. It's more about the change, you know, and it's a lot of change at once.
And I think to piggyback on what you're saying, and I don't want to make it about Bitcoin.com, which is not the point, but just in case people are thinking, well, geez, what do they have against Bitcoin.com?
No,
it was
my dream company to join. Dream job, dream company, dream team, dream everything, dream vision.
Yes. I worked there for a little over a year, a couple years back. And when Eleanor was being courted to work there, she asked me what I thought of it. And I think she'll agree that this is what went down. A fantastic company. You can't ask for better. Go for it. And I believe that. I mean, even though I was laid off-ish type thing happened with me, when people ask me about .com, that's the company that you want to work for. I mean, they have...
Well, it's because there's not many companies out there. And now I'm going to take Vikram's words that I heard yesterday at the Tokyo Bitcoin Cash meetup that was organized on Zoom. He talked about the ethos of crypto, but also it's an ethos that's, I guess, throughout the Bitcoin Cash community, you know, payments, to be able to actually use your cryptocurrency. Don't just hodl it. It's so strong. It's so sad if our spaces, you know, hodl and trade. With everything that's part of me, there would be no reason for me to dedicate my whole life and career to hodl and trade. You know, that's just I see this more as a movement. I see this more as a political inspiring movement that's capable of so much change in the world, and I want to see it. And it's in the making, and the making of it is obviously challenging, but not because I think the problem has disappeared or because we've solved everything and therefore we can just step back. It's because there are some disagreements, I guess, again, on how to get there. You know, it's always on the how. I think a lot of people agree on the goal, peer-to-peer electronic cash, fast, reliable transaction, and more. We want to be competitive, right? We want to offer a strong value proposition with Bitcoin Cash, and that's what we have to thrive for. We cannot pretend like other cryptocurrencies out there aren't, you know, very interesting in developing interesting tech, and we should just, you know, we need to figure our governance, I think, a bit in Bitcoin Cash. But
right,
yeah, to go but back on why I'm talking about mental health.
but you know, getting back to the idea of being laid off and having to sort of regroup. Ordinarily, that's tough. When you add to that, you know, your immediate surroundings also changing in you know, quasi-apocalyptic ways, that doesn't help at all. But what I think the import, which we'll get to in just a second, of your bringing it up is like, look, hey, you know, even I, Eleanor Blanc, as someone who is well known in the space. And has a good reputation, and you know, has done a lot. Even I was, you know, have to go through these cyclical parts of crypto, as you've explained. But importantly, now you're moving on, and I think you're involved with a pretty cool project, right?
Well, it's this whole. I think obviously people understand the idea of these ups and downs, and sometimes when you have to like touch really rock bottom, and then you're like, now I know I'm doing this. You're like, okay, now if I'm scratching and going back to what is really important to me and why am I in this space? And it's obviously it's in these great, you know, depression moment when everything is dark and gloom and the sky is constantly gray and you think that Corona is just never going to end. And then you see there's hope. And it's actually quite powerful when you feel that, when you feel like, okay, now I know why I'm doing this. And you sort of, it's also a moment. It's also a wake up moment, I think, to go through these cycles. And why am I excited for the next steps is because I already feel like I'm already setting a foot to where I really want to be in this particular industry, and why I'm in this space. And I think I'm in this space because I have different experience that anyone else has, and this position and the experiences that I've gone through these last years, I see that BCH has a lot of. There's a lot of things where I could help, and I'm really excited because Satoshi's Angels are really much aligned with what I wanted to do at first already at my small scale, like with Crypto Canal. I thought, okay, how do we connect communities of passionate people across the world with businesses that obviously want that outreach but also want to listen to that specific community, and what is this community basically? So it's all these questions I was already asking myself. And then I realized obviously that I'm only one among many, many, many other nodes from this network. And if I can pool with, you know, Akane or and Cindy, our energies and our network and our knowledge, we're all passionate about peer-to-peer electronic cash. And that's fantastic actually to be in a team where we share the same vision. And I think that's really, really important.
Yeah. So Satoshi's Angels.
Yes. Dark times, but I see bright days.
We've heard bits and pieces of it, and it's been ruminating for a little bit.
Yes.
Everybody was kind of working on.
It's new. Mm-hmm. We're growing. But it's new, but it's at the same time resting on the shoulders of three women that have been grinding and hustling in crypto for a while. So it's like at the same time it's coming, and I really see us connecting and growing the community, the grassroots community, and really being that backbone for meetup organizers across the world to fall back on. Akana has been an incredible meetup organizer, BCH leader, and yeah, through her knowledge and her network and her efforts, I really see the community having more, how can I say that? Having maybe more connected and having maybe a better connection with businesses. That's what I hope to facilitate. I really.
She would hate me saying it, but I think she's an expert when it comes to in real life meetups. This is Akane Yoko, who was instrumental in really landmark meetups that people from all over the world would travel to Tokyo, Japan, just to attend her meetups. And
I mean, I can share a little bit. Like, Roscoe was in Japan last year, and Kiki his girlfriend was at the meetup, and she actually received some crypto from Akane at that meetup, and was like, oh my goodness. Like, you know, she got the full experience basically. Went
this
to Japan.
This is developer Roscoe Callis.
Yeah.
He's now with Anyhead.
General Protocol.
And yeah. Go ahead.
And came back to Amsterdam, and she was like, oh my God, we need this. And I was like, yes, indeed. We need this. We need this full experience of getting some crypto, spending it. And Akane really has that full vision. By onboarding places that accept crypto, and also ensuring that during the meetup that people are encouraged to spend or make a transaction just to experience it together as a community as well for these moments. So Akane really is, I'm so happy that even though we're not together with Bitcoin.com anymore, now we're together with the Satoshi's Angels. So more coming up soon for sure.
And if that wasn't enough, just you and her is enough to recommend it. You have the great Cindy Wang from China, yes. who is instrumental in bringing the East and the West together for peer-to-peer electronic cash. So that's a pretty formidable team.
Yeah, we really, I can't, like, it really hits a lot of things that you would want in a team. It's this sort of international, knowledgeable, professional, you know, woman. So I really, let's see. I'm excited. So,
and you guys have had to pivot of late because of all that we've talked about with regard to the virus and lockdowns and stuff like that. And you're kind of telling me that you guys have moved into the VR space. And
we're testing it. VR is in testing for now. Yesterday, I was really happy to be able to join the Bitcoin Cash Tokyo meetup, right? Remotely, and this time it was on Zoom. I think VR is great. And for those who, you know, are able to have VR, it's fun. It's different. There's actually a quite big Telegram group now of Bitcoin VR degenerates. I've been looking at them, but it's a bit full of maxis. Pardon my language. I would like to do the same thing and better. Basically.
but you attended one, a meetup recently that was a virtual meetup. And I heard there were some pretty cool presentations and some interesting things happened there.
I was late because I was not used to having day meetups, even though it's really nice and it's a bit weird because usually it's in the evenings. But since I was joining right the Tokyo site, so it was a lot of people from Australia and people from Japan and other places and emergent reasons. John came and did a presentation and I missed it, but it was really, really nice. Everybody was talking about it, obviously, and talking about what, you know, they're up to after Flipstarter.
Very nice. And you guys even had a sponsor, Edge Wallet.
Yeah, Edge Wallet. Edge Wallet is really nice. I don't know which wallet you use, but I really do like Edge. And they were just giving out, I think, I can't remember, it was something in yen. I want to say 300 yen. I'm not sure of the amount. But approximately €3, I think, to each person that would download the wallet. But I already had it, so it doesn't work on me. But I had coffee at home, and then I was able to send some BCH to support Bashi, which was the coffee place, I'm assuming, that is being supported on the Tokyo side. So I sort of pretended like I was there, you know what I mean? So it was nice. I kind of had like the QR code behind her. So we can do this. What this showed me is that it's not about being a meetup about a specific location anymore. I thought, wow, this is so nice. And it felt nice to exchange. And I don't know if you've spoken to Vikram. He's in Bangalore.
Mm-hmm. Not recently.
But I just, yeah, he was telling all his story in crypto and we're talking about a bunch of things. We went all the way. I mean, you know how BCH people get. We like to go back at the history and the things and explaining why we're in this space and understanding his vision from Bangalore in India, like about his ethos and what it meant to have been in the space and to fight for peer-to-peer electronic cash, really. So yeah, I missed it. It just gave me, I realized when I left the meetup yesterday, how much I had missed it. It was really nice. It was really, really nice. So I really look forward to the next one. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. That's great. That's really great to hear. And that is, you know, those physical meetings, you just can't put a price tag on them. They are super important. And I think that's one thing that, the peer-to-peer electronic cash community was really, really good at. And unfortunately, its momentum was stalled by the pandemic, but keeping it alive through Zoom meetings, VR in some cases, however creative people can get is super important. And then hopefully once things let up a bit, back to the grind in terms of getting out there, because that face-to-face, the, you know, seeing somebody's phone and really you're embarrassed sometimes online when you first discover crypto, even people who've been in crypto a while and there's like a new wallet or something. And you feel kind of dumb because, you know, if you press this first, then you don't press that. And you're sort of afraid to ask online because people are just like, wow.
It's very important. I think my best moments, my best onboarding moments with just random people were always face to face. Like it's not like anyone called maybe we need like a hotline or something. I realized that all my best onboarding is face to face. It has to be more than just online sometimes, because indeed you need to touch the wallet. You need to show them, you know, and because it's scary, actually. That's a problem. If it was all very easy and, you know, no problem, sometimes people are just, this is new. We're touching their money. We're involving, you know, potential savings. We're, you know, even though we're playing around sometimes with very small amounts at meetups, it's not like we're swapping $500 here and there. We're just showing people with like 1 or 2 euros, but we are showing people how to transact with money that is not money, right? That is not approved, that doesn't have the legal tender that they need to understand that, you know, it's not there's some responsibilities that come with that, because you also have to spend some amount of time, especially if you onboard them to a non-custodian wallet, which I always do. And really, I'm still uncomfortable by onboarding people to custodian products in the past. So I think you need to also teach them about security and explain to them, you know, what it is, and also then make it fun and just then say, okay, now do it. Just send me 10 cents and see how that works, you know? And it works.
And we've been careful to kind of de-emphasize this here on the show, because it's sort of the 800-pound gorilla in our conversation, the fact that, of course, you're a woman, and that is really something of a rarity in cryptocurrency. Less so as we go on, but still, I think it's safe to say it's not all the usual that you'll find gaggles of females in crypto spaces. So I think there's something, not only being physically in a space or a bar or wherever, but also the fact that someone like Akane, like if you've ever watched her work, she's so approachable. Like she's guys, you know, I'm being stereotypical now, but guys, especially in the crypto space, can be a little stoic, kind of pensive, sort of, you know, aloof. Whereas Akane's got this big smile for you. She sees that you're new. She'll walk over to you. So, hi, I'm Akane. And are you here for the Bitcoin Cash meetup? And it's just there's something, I guess, in psychology when you're learning a language.
You mean you're surprised to have a polite, professional, smiling person on the other side? Just because we have such a crazy, as you're putting it very nicely, stoic. That's a very nice word. But, and I think everybody wants to look stoic. And this is why I think being vulnerable publicly, I did have to think about it, you know, because this whole, what you're just mentioning right now, this whole woman, men, and this whole ego game that is crypto, I guess, on some level. I wish there was less. But yeah, there's a tendency to always want to be on your top, you know, because if you're not on your top, well, you're not doing it right. Or, you know, and especially for people like me, you that are public, you know, there's no down days, you know, you're not allowed. I mean, show must go on. But Akane and others out there that are doing this grassroots onboarding efforts that are they take time, they take a lot of energy,
she's unafraid to ask you the questions, and you're not going to like you just said, it was perfect way to phrase it. If a guy asks me, you have a wallet, you know, that can be sort of a pissing contest, you know, whereas if Akane says, hey, let's get you started. Do you have any BCH and you want to buy a beer? Here, I'll help you get a wallet. Like, it's just, there's just something about that vulnerability you're talking about, that look, hey, and everybody's new. And
it's maybe because we don't forget. And I mean, there's other people, and I'm not saying this is a woman feature, but we remember there's maybe a bit more of patience, maybe a little bit more of, I don't know. And I don't want to say it. God damn it, Kelso. Woman's touch. God damn it, I said it. But a bit more of remembering what it feels like the first time you got crypto. I remember going to meetups and being like, what the fuck? Sorry, what's happening? I couldn't. It was so confusing.
It's overwhelming.
I mean, there's so many new lingo. There's so, the semantics that we use in our space. And then it's like, okay, there's a wallet. And then, okay.
And everything's freaking abbreviated.
What's an exchange? Okay, great. Okay, but I don't understand. Where do I buy it? Well, you know, you can buy it through your wallet. No, but you said that you should buy it on exchange. Oh, but there's local Bitcoins as well. But so what's your legal situation? Okay, now maybe you should use that. And it's like, there's so many parameters that you can, it's case per case. I mean, some people are going to go out there on the internet, you know, put buy Bitcoin on Google and they'll figure it out. But
and some dudes
they might not come back. Mm-hmm. You know, people that you onboard in person, face to face, they'll remember. It's a unique moment that you're spending teaching someone about. Oh, I have such good memories of like when I was with the BTC.com and we were at the Next Web or the Web Summit, and really like non-crypto people crowd, but techie, right? Techie, but non-crypto. And so many great conversations. They have the best questions because they remind you of 101 days, you know, no corner muggle days, you know, when you're really, you had no idea. And you have to be confronted to that. I think as for any crypto person out there listening to this, just go and, I was going to say, go and knock on your neighbor's door. Don't stay home. But that experience of just giving a little bit of crypto to someone. And I know that a lot of people were doing this in the beginnings. I know that in the beginning of crypto, I want to say 2015 and even earlier than that, a lot of people were trying, you know, on board you're here, on board there. But the space right now is just not on that wavelength at all, I think. And that's the sort of,
it's all speculation.
Yeah, and it's just we're beating a different drum almost. It's like there's really like it's crypto, but then it's like these sort of these different niches and these and it's normal, right? Different people have different interests, and that's fine. And then that leads to different business cases or whatever.
But we shouldn't exclude the peer-to-peer aspect.
No, and we shouldn't dismiss the people that don't know yet. And because it's really the number of times I've done it with people that didn't have crypto before, and then I give them and they make a transaction and they understand that they can send this money across the world at any time for a fraction of what it would cost them with anything else. I mean, it's still a magical moment. And when you onboard someone and they have that click and they think, oh my God, thank you so much. How can I stay in contact? I want to know more. You're like, yes, I did something here. And you know, that's your whole Vin's going to love this. The whole evangelical moment a bit of, you know, now you've gained a true believer. But that's how you gain believers. It's by taking, I think, that moment to tell them about the ethos of what this is all about. And that is not just about, yay, moon. No, it's more than this. Yeah, but also you shouldn't creep them out. I don't want to scare them either. You know, so it's that fine balance. It's like, it's new money, but it's also really interesting. And there's great tech, but it's new money. it's different. It's different. And it's powerful. And it's different. And this is a separation of church and state on money. Yes, there's that spirit. It is there. It is not just about numbers going up. And we're not only, you know, decoupling the S&P 500 market. That would be just a really low bar.
Right. And I hope Satoshi's angels, once the world opens up slightly more, is able to get out to those non-crypto conferences, the Money 2020s,
I'm going to find those people. Everybody's at home now, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's in people's homes. I need to crack Alexa's or something.
Battle now, but going into non-crypto spaces, digitally or physically, having you three or two or one or whatever do that is super, super powerful, I think.
Yeah, I really look forward to working with this team, and I think we have the right vision, and it's about getting it out there.
I'm going to pause for an edit here. I'm not sure where to go from here.
I think we should just close it.
Okay.
Right. Either we go to, what could we go to? Justin got a second round at BlockConf with Giacomo. Should I mention that?
Yeah, let me try to transition into that.
Like it's a remote, but it's like Adam Back event and stuff. So I don't want to like shill too much that event, but I just want to say like there's gonna be.
Oh, you know, I don't. You know, that doesn't matter to me. That's your call. So let me try to transition. Blah, 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 blah. We're talking hopefully you'll meet up. Blah, 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 blah. So are you going to, so I'm not mentioning Justin, I'm going to mention Cyber Capital.
Yeah, I'm their chief marketing officer. You can, I don't know if you want to throw that in.
All right. So give me a 3-2-1 here. So 3-2-1. Well, in addition to your Satoshi's Angels work, you're also a chief marketing officer out at Cyber Capital. So we go from the peer-to-peer to the financial. The yeah, to the financial. And you guys have had a bit of news, some kind of cool news, and it's kind of ecumenical, keeping our religious discussion alive, cutting across different crypto projects. What's up with Cyber Capital?
Well, Cyber Capital is really in a transition phase, and I think it's really interesting. And I look forward to seeing Justin doing his next second round discussion with Giacomo Zucco at BlockConf.
This and is we're also, Justin Bonds, who's the founder, CEO. Of
Justin Bonds, founder and chief investment officer at Cyber Capital. Round two with Giacomo Zucco. So let's see how that goes. I think that's going to be an interesting conversation. And for I think sure. another. And then another interesting thing for us is that we're working on a webinar, and it's just for us to learn about what we're sharing, what type of content we're actually sharing right now. And I think this new form of communication, new form of marketing, new investors, obviously. So very interesting space to be in right now. Regulators are looking, banks are looking. I think a lot of institutional parties out there are looking for alternatives, basically. One thing that the corona maybe has done is also wake up certain things that maybe felt very sure and secure. And I think in the investment world, they need to stay on their feet, and they need to be able to diversify and be able to offer more security for these investors. So maybe some of them will like what we're doing at Cyber Capital, or like our approach to the market, our fundamental analysis approach. It's really, we're offering something different, a unique way of, I think, investing in the space, which is really value driven. So that's
very nice.
Cool things for Cyber Capital.
Very, very nice. I'm glad things are looking up and moving in the right direction for you. And I'm also pretty happy that we discussed that cyclical aspect, that up and down of the market. So real
and
important.
You stay safe, okay, on your side of the world. I know that we're like coming out of it here, and I know that you guys are still in it. So I just want to send all my best, you know, warm feelings to you, your family, and everybody on the other side of the world that's still like, you know, grasping with quarantine and what that means. And the new normal that we're stepping into or not when all of this is going to be over.
The spice must blow. But I appreciate that. So where can we keep up with the wonderful Eleanor Blanc? Where can people follow your work and what you're doing?
CryptoCanal.org, Cyber Capital, Satoshi's Angels. I'm on Telegram. You can find me, and I'm feeling better. So don't feel bad for reaching out.
We'll have links to all the ways to get a hold of Ellie and to follow her work in the show notes. And again, it was great talking to you.
Same here.
Stay safe.
You too. Till next time.